The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Memorial Day is a month away, but Workers' Memorial Day is this Sunday. And today, on the show, the Dirty Dozen Unsafe Employers, as reported by the National Council of Occupational Safety and Health. Plus, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees on Rail Safety, and the United Steelworkers. Welcome to the Friday, April 26th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. We have three guests on the show today. I'm going to start things off with Marcy Goldstein-Gelb. Now, Marcy is the co-executive director of a great organization that we've featured on the show many, many times, the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health. Website is nationalcosh.org. As co-executive director, Marcy has been a leader and strategist in the occupational safety and health and economic justice movements for over 25 years. She also serves on the faculty of the Harvard Trade Union Program at Harvard University's Law School, and her work has been devoted to engaging and impacting workers most impacted by dangerous working conditions. We're talking lower wage, workers of color, immigrants, women, and youth. And yesterday, National Cosh released the 2024 list of the Dirty Dozen Unsafe Employers, and it's all part of their observance of Workers' Memorial Week, which culminates on Workers' Memorial Day this Sunday. And in a nutshell, and the stats go up to 2022, in 2022, over 5,400 workers tragically lost their lives due to sudden trauma in the U.S. workplaces, marking an increase of 5.7% from the previous year. And as they have reported for several years now, black and brown workers, well, they're dying at a higher rate than other workers for way too long, says National Cosh. These workers have been assigned to the dirtiest and most dangerous jobs, and this system has to come to an end. Just going to run down some of the Dirty Dozen. The Alabama Department of Corrections, forced labor in Alabama prisons disproportionately targets black men and women who face hazardous conditions for $2 a day or less. There's Ascension Healthcare, severe staff cuts creating unsafe conditions for patients and workers at the nation's largest Catholic healthcare system. Costa Farms. In 2021, a worker died from heat exhaustion at a Costa Farms nursery in Miami. There's Marjack Poultry and Onan Staffing. Devon Perez, an immigrant teenager, killed at this poultry firm, which has a very troubling history of safety violations. And then there's SpaceX and the Boring Company. Never heard of the Boring Company. Well, workers suffered crushed limbs, amputations, chemical burns, and a preventable death at companies owned by billionaire Elon Musk. Workers say Musk is obsessed with speed, and he doesn't care about safety. There's more, and we'll cover them with Marcy on the show. Roy Morrison will be joining us as our second guest on the show. Roy is the Director of Safety at the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, which is a division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. He started out on Union Pacific Railroad back in 1996, and he had various roles: track labor, equipment operator, track foreman, track inspector. And then he embarked on a new chapter in January of 2015. That's when Roy joined the Brotherhood, where he rapidly ascended to his current position as National Director of Safety, which is based in Washington, D.C. So we're going to talk about safety on the rail, and it's if there is such a thing. But he has seen a lot over his years, and sadly, and he's going to talk more about this, when people speak out, they get in trouble. They get disciplined. In some cases, they lose their job, and then the Brotherhood has to fight for their job back, which they eventually get. BMWE.org is in the national website for the Brotherhood, one of the many fine sponsors of America's workforce, including the United Steelworkers, and Donnie Blatt will be joining us later in the show. Donnie is the director of District 1, which encompasses all of Ohio and all of Michigan. Donnie joined the union back in April of 1979 as a member of Local 5724 at Ormet Aluminum, located in Hannibal, Ohio. And he's been paying dues ever since. He served the members of Local 5724 in many roles, including PAC coordinator, also rapid response coordinator. That's a great program for the steelworkers. Rapid response. It's been very effective, especially in Mexico, when they see some things going the wrong way on these trade deals. Well, they get their team together, and boy, did they get results. Donnie has also been a member of the Ohio AFL-CIO Executive Board. He's had that position for, 18 years now. And one of the things we're going to talk about, primarily the number one thing we're going to talk about on the show, is gerrymandering. And we have discussed this situation many times on the show, especially with Tim Berga. But there's an independent commission that they're trying to get on the ballot in November. And it's citizens, not politicians. And the whole idea here is to get five Democrats, five Republicans, five independents to carve up the districts so they're not in favor of one party. Right now, they're in favor of the Republicans. Well, we don't want them to be in favor of the Democrats either. We want to be fair about this. That's what it's all about. USW.org is a national website. A lot of good information there. And also, you know, while we're talking about steelworkers, we had Scott Paul on the show the other day from the Alliance for American Manufacturing, which is affiliated with the steelworkers. Steelworkers helped fund them many, many years ago. I think it was like 2006, 2007. But if you go to AmericanManufacturing.org, you could check out that documentary, which we featured on the show here some months back, because it did premiere in Cleveland, Ohio, called Relighting the Flame. And it's all about the steel industry back in the 1990s, which was almost on the verge of bankruptcy. Well, many steel companies did go bankrupt, and there were just a few survivors, and many politicians. Oh, boy, I remember that so well, because I started hosting this show in 1998, and we were talking about that almost every day. And sadly, they finally saw the light of day and said, you know what, we better save the steel industry. And they did. And now we have the most productive workforce in the world, and we're still getting hammered by China. Relighting the Flame. Check it out. It's on YouTube. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. The segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. President Biden on Wednesday needled his potential rival, Donald Trump, laying into the former president as he welcomed the North America's Building Trades Union's endorsement. Biden said at the legislative conference, "You're the best in the world. You know you had my back in 2020, and because of you, I'm standing here as president of the United States of America." So it's either Scranton values or Mar-a-Lago values, Biden went on to say, drawing a contrast between his background and Donald Trump as he repeated an economic argument rolled out during campaign stops in Pennsylvania last week. He says there are competing visions of the economy at the heart of this election. And the polling shows that economic issues are top of mind for many voters. And in some categories, Trump is leading Biden on that. But it's a long way till November. And by the way, there's some really, really good social media posts from Sean McGarvey that we shared on America's Workforce. If you go to our website, awfpodcast.com, and Sean McGarvey was on a roll. Definitely got to check that out. I'm sure we'll be checking with him shortly on the show. Stellantis on Monday laid off 199 workers at its Sterling Heights assembly plant, which builds the Ram 1500 pickups. Michael Spencer is the president of UAW Local 1700, which represents the workers at the plant. He said in an email that the layoffs were disappointing, disgusting, and a disservice to the workers. The maker of Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, and other vehicles is also planning to lay off an unspecified number of additional workers at its factories in the coming months to deal with what they call a rapidly changing global auto market. Well, Sean Fain is not taking this lightly. Sean, of course, the president of UAW. This is what he posted. Trust me, the leadership here is going to fight like hell with the membership, make sure that they honor their commitments. And you know what? Stellantis is pathetic. The leadership is pathetic. You got a CEO over there across the pond that wants to talk about how they need to cut costs and all this stuff, but it didn't stop him from giving himself a 56% pay increase. How about that? Stellantis has about 4,300 U.S. factory workers. And Fain said the shareholders last week cleared the way for the CEO to earn about a $39 million compensation package this year. He said union members shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the company is the enemy here. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, National Kosh, the co-director, talking about this year's Dirty Dozen employers.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council, consisting of 8 iron worker local unions in West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan. We build the skylines and bridges along the Great Lakes. With more work than ever before, the Great Lakes District Council is actively searching out the next great iron worker. Whether it's building the next Intel plant or constructing a bridge to safely connect our great cities along the lake. So join the Iron Workers Great Lakes District Council today. Find out how and learn more about the council by visiting iwdistrictcouncil.com. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, labor's trusted health partner, bringing people, communities, and care together to transform the future of health. For more information, please visit anthem.com/labor and trust. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at UAW.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org is our website. Let's go to line number one. And welcome our featured guest today, and that would be Marcy Goldstein-Gelb, who is the co-executive director of the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health. Well, this week is Workers' Memorial Week. Sunday is Workers' Memorial Day. And yesterday, National COSH, the National Council of Occupational Safety and Health, came out with their 2024 list of the Dirty Dozen Unsafe Employers. Marcy Goldstein-Gelb, welcome to America's Workforce. And you know my first question, and I'm kind of laughing here a little bit. How did you get it down to a dozen?
It was very hard. We had so many nominations from across the country. And, you know, when we released it, we knew we couldn't name all of them, unfortunately. And in fact, on the media call that we held yesterday, one of the reporters said, "Is Amazon not on there because they got better?" And we're like, no way in hell did they get better. So we didn't want to make it a 100-page report. So we really wanted to highlight this year's just nasty, egregious employers, and equally important to us that workers in these companies are taking action, they're organizing for union, for speaking up for their rights, and, they needed to be highlighted.
Marcy, what's really sad about this is you would think, it's 2024, we'd be getting a little bit better on this and in these numbers here, and this goes up to 2022, which was still pandemic mode and all that because there's a lot of bad things that were happening then. But I see in 2022, over 5,400 workers tragically lost their lives due to sudden trauma in the workplace. And that's an increase of 5.7% from the previous year. And as I recall, I mean, usually it's stabilized or gone down. We're going in the wrong direction on this, aren't we?
We're absolutely going in the wrong direction. And, It's a really disturbing trend, and for every worker that loses their lives, there are entire communities, co-workers, union brothers and sisters, or in many cases, they're not unionized, which is a big reason why they don't have the safety protections, and family members that are just devastated. We're seeing black and brown workers dying at far higher rates than other workers, too long. These workers have been assigned to the dirtiest and most dangerous jobs due to systemic discrimination. It's not a good trend. And at the same time, there is reason for hope, but it definitely is worthwhile really highlighting some of these really disturbing statistics that we're calling out in this report and on Workers' Memorial Week.
And you point out, too, you mentioned the black and brown workers. Well, they're the ones that get the dirtiest and most dangerous jobs. I mean, that's been going on for years. And I know National COSH says, you know what, we got to do something about that because that's going to come to an end. Here's what's another thing that's disturbing here. The number of children working in violation of U.S. law. And you know what's going on, especially in the southern states. They're lowering the age. They're saying, well, we can't get enough workers. So you're going to see more kids in dangerous jobs. And I just mentioned about that increase from the previous year. This does not bode well here. Did the report get into some details on child labor here, Marcy?
Yeah, absolutely. That's frankly been a priority for our network for a long time. But we are seeing just, a sizable increase in child labor violations that have been found by the Department of Labor from 2019 to 2023, an 88% increase. And the degree of abuse and, you know, we've seen fatalities in two of the Dirty Dozen. Children were killed on the job as a result of, you know, again, egregious poor conditions. And this is something that our country should not be standing for. But again, it's just consistent with what I call the lowerarchy of work in this country, where if you don't have that sort of voice in the workplace as union workers do, then what you have is that folks that have the least alternative job options, that are most desperate to keep their employment, and in particular have the most to lose if there's retaliation, are subjected to the most dangerous jobs and ignored if they even think about speaking up about the dangers in the workplace. And this is what happens. You get these jumps in deaths, be it for people of color, for immigrants, for children.
Marcy, do you have the Dirty Dozen in front of you? And I'm sure you covered a lot of this yesterday. And I was just wondering, you know, all of these are surprising, but there's got to be some that were, I guess, more disturbing than others. In your opinion, which one stands out this year?
Oh boy, I guess I would have to. You know, there's just so many, but I would have to say, you know, if we want to talk about children and just, you know, egregious employer behavior, we have Florence Hardwoods. In 2023, a 16-year-old was crushed to death at a Wisconsin lumber mill. And the company had previously been cited for failure to lock out and guard machinery, the same hazards that killed this young man. You know, how do you live with yourself if you're management at this company? Equally, you know, just in that category, Marjack Poultry and Onin Staffing. An immigrant teenager was hired by Onin and similarly crushed to death at Marjack, which already had a long history of safety violations. Again, these are just a couple. There's just, you know, we can name many others. All of them are very worthy of being on this of this list.
Yeah. Well, those of you listening, go to nationalkosh.org. It's all posted there. I'm looking at the one from Walmart, Janika Perry. Janika was pressured to avoid taking sick time. She died alone and was crying out for help for a while at a Walmart bathroom. And now her family and colleagues are saying, you know what, we got to do better on sick leave policies. It's just ridiculous. But you mentioned the unions, and I got to do a shout out here for the Iron Workers Union, and this one involves Black Iron XL Concrete. Well, a worker died from electrocution. Another loses a thumb at a company which had 29 OSHA violations in the past decade. Black Iron workers in Nevada decided, you know what, enough is enough, so they're joining the Iron Workers Union. They actually did this in 2022, and they've just learned that their election is finally certified. So, you know,
absolutely,
you know that if you got a union, you're going to have a whole lot more safety precautions than a non-union shop. And we talk about that so many times here on America's Workforce. Well, I'll tell you, this is a heck of a list, and you can, again, check it out on nationalkosh.org. Let me ask you this, Marcy. How was the attendance yesterday? I know you do this on a Zoom. And it's very engaging. I'm just wondering, you've been doing this for a number of years. Are we making a dent? Are we saying, you know, hey, you know what? Something's got to be done here. And I mean, if you keep shouting as loud as you're shouting, some things have to change. How do you feel about that?
You know, I do feel hopeful. I feel like, and you mentioned the pandemic, I think, you know, I felt this surge beginning during the pandemic when workers, you know, we're given this title of, you know, being sort of special and appreciated and then, you know, cast aside as being disposable. And that slap in the face really energized, frankly, you know, the country and workers are organizing like never before, unionizing in places that have never been unionized before, taking action, creating committees, and you could feel that energy. And again, the report is not just highlighting the bad actors, it's really spotlighting workers that are standing up, taking action, pushing for the right to have a voice in the workplace and a union contract. Frankly, there's nothing like having a collective bargaining agreement, that right to sit at the table with management and say, this is wrong and you can't fire us for saying so.
I love it. Marcy Goldstein-Gelb, co-director of National COSH, National Council of Occupational Safety and Health. We should also point out that Marcy serves on the faculty of the Harvard Trade Union Program at Harvard University's Law School. And we cite the On Labor blog. I'll tell you, whoever put that together, congratulate them on that, because I got a lot of material there. Good stuff. Good stuff. So we'll keep it going there. Marcy, you take care. Thank you so much for joining us, and keep up the fight, okay?
Thanks so much for having me. It was wonderful to be here.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Roy Morrison is the Director of Safety at the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, which is a division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. He's going to talk about rail safety next, right here on America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Attention members of the Heat and Frost Insulators Union who are interested in traveling. Central Ohio has more construction projects on the books than anywhere in the U.S. Mega projects, large and medium-sized jobs are creating more work than our local 50 brothers and sisters can handle. Projects like Intel, the Honda LG battery plant, and multiple data centers for Facebook, Google, and Amazon offer union wages, overtime, and exciting incentives. Local 50 is seeking union travelers to meet the needs of its signatory contractors who can put you to work immediately. If you're a member in good standing and interested in the work opportunities in Central Ohio, visit insulators50.com/AWF travel for more information. America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. When you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to line number two. And joining us from Washington is Roy Morrison. Roy is the Director of Safety at the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. And I'll tell you, he's got a lot of experience on the railroad, specifically the Union Pacific Railroad, starting back in 1996. And he's been involved in the union, one of our many sponsors here, I might add, on America's Workforce. Well, we've got Workers' Memorial Week and Workers' Memorial Day this Sunday. And I'll tell you, working on the railroad, well, safety is paramount. It's paramount in all jobs, but Roy is here to talk about that and more. Roy, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today. And a little more on your background. What made you decide to get involved in the rail industry? We talked to a lot of folks. It's not the easiest. Your time away from home is astronomical, but let's start right there. Go ahead, brother.
I want to thank you for having me and thank you for everything you do. Yeah, you're not wrong. The time away from home is astronomical. I missed most of my kids growing up, to be quite honest with you. And it's not an easy job. And it, when I started in 96, the railroads had quite a bit smaller territories, and quickly that changed and ended up covering 14 states with our the Union Pacific System production crews. Did that for half of my 19 years, and I spent the other half working local forces up in out of Spokane, Washington, and spent most of my time up there as a foreman or a track inspector, and missed a lot of holidays and a lot of baseball games.
And you have been director of safety for how many years now for the Brotherhood?
I took over the department in 2018.
Well, let's pick up on safety here, Roy, because it's important that we call attention to how unsafe the rail industry has been, especially with these derailments. On any given day, there's like three, maybe four derailments. There was one in Ohio, I believe, last week. Obviously, we focused on what happened in East Palestine, Ohio. But where do we stand here? Because I know that, first of all, the industry, let's be honest, is very, very profitable. I've been reading some numbers, and, you know, Wall Street is pretty much behind this, and they're just, it seems like they're squeezing the workers and wanting to do more. They're using some of the technology called a PSR, Precision Scheduled Railroading. Talk to me about that. I mean, because I know you're doing a whole lot as far as lobbying, but I'll tell you, they got a lot of money, and it's been a real difficult fight. Can you speak to that, Roy?
Absolutely, and thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, that precision scheduled railroading hit the industry in 2015, right around 2015, and it's just done nothing but take off since. And the whole model is to just wring out every piece of profit that they can from closing yards and selling that real estate for condos or whatnot. Mind you, much of this real estate was essentially almost given to them by taxpayers back in the day, to cutting jobs and just lengthening territories. Now, my workers that I represent are non-operating, so they build and maintain the railroad track structure itself. And since 2015, we've seen over 30% reduction in headcount across all of the railroads. And, so what's that mean? That means we have many, many lines out there, 1,000 miles long with, 50 people trying to maintain it on a daily basis. So, I mean, East Palestine was tragic and awful, but let's not just focus on NS. That car just a few hundred miles down the road could have happened on a different railroad. It's the industry as a whole, how they're maintaining cars, how they're maintaining track structure, how they're staffing trains, how they're making trains longer so they have fewer trains operating. Like, all of this business model is just to wring the profits out at the expense of the employees and the public itself. One thing that really frustrates me about the industry right now is between the railroads and the FRA, everybody just seems to be okay with the status quo when it comes to safety. And, the railroads are a very safe place to haul material or and to travel for people. I mean, when it, especially when it comes, when your alternative is the highway system, you know, but it's not as safe as it could be, and it's definitely not as safe as it needs to be. Other railroads from other countries have drastically safer models. You know, we, in the last 10 years in the railroad industry, we've killed 102 employees, you know, with 24 of those coming from the non-operating crafts like ours, the maintenance craft and the signal craft. You know, we've had over 32,000 non-fatal employee on-duty injuries. And this is in a, this is in an industry where we're known for drastically under-reporting because of the retaliatory nature of the railroads.
So, Roy, you're saying that a lot of things are going on and people are afraid to report them because they, what, they might get dock pay? I mean, how are they coming down on the employees who speak out?
What happens is when someone speaks out, they paints a target on their back for management, and they'll find a reason to bring them up on charges and discipline them. And oftentimes that leads to them actually being dismissed. And then we have to go into it's called an investigation that's completely led and by the railroads themselves, and then end up, the union fights it through arbitration, which can take up to 2 years. So meanwhile, this person, even if the arbitrator brings them back to work with full back pay, you know, they've been out of work for 2 years. And that sends a message to all the other employees to just keep your mouth shut to try and keep your job. That's a wow. constant battle we fight as union leadership here, you know, trying to get people to feel empowered enough to stand up for themselves and do what's right.
We're speaking with Roy Morrison. Roy is the Director of Safety for the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, which is a division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Now, Roy, is that what this C3RS is all about, which stands for Confidential Close Call Reporting System? And this is something that you'd like to see implemented? Is that what that's all about?
That's exactly what that's all about. So, you know, similar issues happen in the airline industry in their history, and this FRA confidential close call reporting system is modeled off after that very successful system. And if we're ever going to get to a place in the rail industry where we can stop killing people and stop derailing trains and blowing up cities, then we need to have a place where workers are empowered to do their job and to do it right, and not have management pushing them not to do their jobs, not to report things, et cetera. This confidential close call reporting system gives them a safe way to do that without fear of retaliation. And all after East Palestine, all of the Class 1 railroads committed to Secretary Buttigieg to joining this confidential close call reporting system, and currently NS has joined a pilot program with two of the 12 rail unions. The rest of us are still left out in the cold trying to talk to the railroads about getting into the system.
So just to be clear, Norfolk Southern, they're moving in the right direction, but the other rail companies are not right now?
Yeah. So Norfolk Southern has reached IMOUs with two of our sister unions. But they have not. We're trying to talk to them on the maintenance side, but we haven't really made very much progress in that regard. And none of the other unions are even really making honest efforts to get that done. And quite honestly, you know, I've said this to everybody that I know of. We need to start demanding it in this country. We need to demand that our railroads are safer. You know, where I come from in Spokane, Washington, the BNSF mainline goes right through downtown. And if anything were to happen there in downtown, you know, all of the major hospitals for the region are within a half mile of that track. So all of them would be affected. So what would that do to the community if all of your major hospitals are taken out at the same time as your mainline in the middle of a small city?
Well, Roy, you and I are talking about it. Apparently, the people that are operating the rails, they don't even give a damn about that. That's sad. That's sad. And then the people that speak out about it, they're getting docked and sometimes losing their job altogether. Great conversation. We got a lot of work to do, buddy. Roy Morrison, Director of Safety at the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, which is a division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, BMWE.org is their national website. Hang in there and stay in touch, okay, brother?
Will do. Thank you for all that you do.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Donnie Blatt, District 1 Director for the United Steelworkers. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Founded in 1887, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters represents the employees responsible for tirelessly constructing and maintaining the national rail system in America. For more than a century, the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees has proven they have what it takes to protect its members and meet the ever-changing challenges of the rail industry. Today, the BMWED continues to fight for job security, fair wages, better benefits, and safer, more modern work environments. For more information, please visit BMWE.org. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Are you looking for a new healthcare partner for your union members? Let Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield be your champion, making sure your members live their healthiest lives. Now more than ever, it's important to have a partner you can trust, one who understands the unique challenges unions face. Anthem provides a variety of options to meet your organization's needs and helps you control costs without sacrificing quality of care. For more information, visit anthem.com/labor and trust.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. Before we get to Donnie Blatt, I just want to reference the report that came out yesterday from National COSH, the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health. And they do this during Workers' Memorial Week, which is this week. And then Workers' Memorial Day is this Sunday. NationalCosh.org is a website. And some of the employers that we didn't get into with Marcy Goldstein Gelb was Valor Security and Investigations. And this is a New York City firm that was indicted for selling fake safety certificates, which endangered workers who never received any training. Well, it turns out that Ivan Frias, construction worker, with this fake certificate, so he didn't get any training, he fell to his death 2 years ago. And then there's Uber and Lyft. I didn't know this. Over 80 mobile app workers have been killed on the job since 2017, most of them working for Uber and Lyft. And it turns out that workers of color and immigrants bear the brunt of these dangers, just part of the dirty dozen of unsafe employers. Let's go to our live line and join Donnie Blatt. Donnie is the District 1 director for one of our great sponsors, longtime sponsors, United Steelworkers, USW.org. Donnie, I'm sure you were listening to the some of the Dirty Dozen here, and I know you've been around a long time. I know you started in the steel industry back in, 1979. You've seen a lot. You've heard a lot. I guess nobody should be surprised what's going on in America today. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you would think, I would hope people would be surprised, just to be honest with you, Flash. I mean, we as a country, we're better than that. And I think I would hope that we're better than that. And it just seems like that we keep going backwards when it comes to worker safety. And we got to get back to making sure the workers are taken care of and policies are created that allow them to go home the same way that they went to work. Yep. And so it saddens me whenever I hear these types of things that are happening, no matter what industry workers are working in.
And you know what? You'd be glad to hear this, because the report pointed out we need more unions, because when you got a union, you got those safety protections,
Absolutely.
It's not perfect. Nothing's perfect, but the union's going to help a whole lot when it comes to worker safety. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, the union will give workers a guarantee of what their working conditions will be. They'll be able to negotiate that, and the workers would have a voice in what that is and what those policies are and how they're going to be able to do their jobs in a safe manner, no matter what kind of job it is. I don't care if it's working in the steel industry or it's driving Uber. There's a certain working condition that folks expect, they should expect, and we can give them a guarantee of that. So I hope if there's any people out there that are listening that want a union and want to have that guarantee, we're happy to help them any way we can.
There you go. All right, Donnie, I know you want to talk about what's going on in the state of Ohio, and I know you're a member of the Ohio AFL-CIO Executive Board,
right.
And we got an issue to deal with here. It's called gerrymandering, and we try to fix it. Voters try to fix it. I think it was in 2015 and 2017, but the commission didn't really fix it. So now there's another potential fix, and what is it, citizens, not politicians? And I know that's what you want to discuss. Where are we with this right now? Maybe you can explain what's going on.
So we're supporting an amendment. It's going to be a change in the Constitution on how we draw our legislative districts in the state of Ohio, and it's called the Citizens Not Politicians Amendment. And effectively, what it does, it takes away drawing of legislative districts. The redrawing of legislative districts away from the politicians and the lobbyists, and really puts it in the hands of the citizens, and it would be a nonpartisan, equally represented commission made up of ordinary Ohio citizens that would take over drawing these legislative districts, and the whole premise here is, for decades we have allowed politicians and lobbyists to redraw these lines, and they've drawn them in a manner that allows them to choose who's going to vote for them instead of the voters being able to choose who's going to represent them. And so we're trying to get away from that and make sure that whenever we have these elections, people can be held accountable and the voters can actually vote in a free and fair election where they actually get to vote, choose who's going to represent them in their various districts, whether that's on the federal level in the House of Representatives or that's on the state level.
So, Donnie, just to be clear here, if you served in office, if you were elected maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, you cannot be on this commission then? Is that pretty much the case?
That's right. It takes anybody that was involved in the government or holds a government position or lobbies for the government. Like, you know, I lobby for issues all the time for workers and for our organization that we think are fair and just for workers. I wouldn't be able to participate on this commission. So it would be citizens that aren't in that, but there would be an equal representation of citizens on this commission. It would be represented by Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. It's a 15-member commission. Five from each one of those classifications would be represented on this commission, and they would draw those legislative maps in a nonpartisan manner.
So I understand, Donnie, that I guess we got to get these numbers up to like 400 some thousand signatures by right before, I believe, July 4th. Can you tell us where we are right now? Are we making some progress on this?
We are making some progress. I can't give you an exact number, Flash, but you know, I keep in touch with the state federation on this, who's highly involved in getting the petition signed. We have to have 413,487 signatures, valid voter signatures, by July the 3rd of this year. And typically what we try to do is we try to make that number larger in case some of the signatures are deemed to be invalid by the Secretary of State's office. And so we'll typically try to get, 600,000 up towards 700,000 signatures just to make sure we have a cushion there in case some of the signatures are thrown out and deemed to be invalid.
That would be a pretty good cushion there.
That's what we absolutely try to do. So
413,487. That's the number that we have to get, but valid ones. So we'll see what happens here. Yeah. So I know during the primary in March, there was a lot of outreach. You getting a lot of help on this? I'm just wondering, you got the steelworkers behind you. I know a lot of unions are behind you. Can you speak to that, Donnie?
We have a lot of help. There's a lot of people out there. There's ordinary citizens that are out there canvassing neighborhoods, knocking on doors, asking and explaining to people why this is important, and getting them to sign on to this amendment. There's also you'll see various drive-throughs pop up in different communities where people can actually drive through in their vehicles and sign a petition. We have a lot of help out there. There's a lot of people out there doing a lot of fantastic work. The last time that I spoke to President Tim Berger from the Ohio FLCAO about it, his report was he thought the signatures were going very well. I actually had a citizen from my hometown in Centerburg, Ohio, stop by my house the other day and asked me to sign the petition. And so me and my wife signed it, and she wasn't anybody that was affiliated with a labor union or anything. She was just a citizen in Ohio that thought this was the right thing to do and thought it was fair for Ohio voters. And so she was spending her time to go out and get these petitions signed.
We should point out, too, this is why what happened last August was so important, because they wanted to change the process here. If you wanted to change the Constitution, you needed 60% instead of 50% plus one.
That's why our work was really important on State Issue 1 back in banned special August elections that they decided to bring back and make it so that, you know, we lost majority rule. We had to have at least 60% or more to pass a constitutional initiative. And we had to get signatures in all 88 counties at that time. So, you know, this just validates why that work was so important that we did back in August of 2023.
Yeah, they want to make it harder for the people's voices. That's exactly what's been going on for so many years now. All right, Donnie, great job. Thank you so much. Donnie Blatt, District 1 Director for the United Steelworkers, encompassing all of Ohio and all of Michigan, USW.org, the national website. You take care and stay safe, brother.
It's great to be with you, Flash. Thank you.
And that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up on Monday, we're going to check in with IBEW Local 40 in Hollywood and the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful weekend.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.